Tonight we're talking about how to help someone receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, helping somebody receive. And it's so funny, the people we worked with in India, they had been filled with the Spirit for years, and they had never seen somebody else filled with the Spirit. They had received in worship or just on their own. And then when we got there, we showed up and we helped this one guy receive, and they were freaking out because they had never seen this before. And so I think a lot of the body of Christ, you may have had this experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may even speak in tongues on a regular basis. But then when it comes to helping somebody else do it, you might be completely confused. And we emphasize so much around here, helping people get saved. We talk about healing, but we've never really talked a lot about this, how to help somebody receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I am not going to give you my points tonight. I am by no means an expert in this. So that's why I'm going to read out of this book, which is why it's important that I found it, or else most of this message, it was just going to be a Holy Spirit service in here tonight. I told Tora I was just going to get up here and start prophesying. So that's why I needed this book, because there's some points in here that I want to highlight. But before I do that, I want to talk about this word yield. Yield. Y'all know this word, right? Yield. Everything you ever receive from God is contingent upon yielding. Salvation is contingent upon yielding. They have to have the gospel. You know, to get saved, you have to hear the gospel, but it's not just hearing the gospel, it's yielding to the gospel. It's responding to the gospel. Healing. Some people in the body of Christ think that you can just go up and lay hands on whoever you want and command them to be healed, but no, no, no. The person has to yield in something, in some way. There has to be some sort of yielding. That's why we can't go into hospitals and just yank people, you know, out of whatever's going on. There has to be some sort of yielding. So yielding is very important. For you to receive from God, the whole thing is you learning how to yield. And so with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you're working with somebody, it's all about yielding. But the only problem is that you and I, we like to have control. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing is one of the weirdest things out there. I mean, you can name some crazy stuff, but speaking in tongues, it comes out at the top every time. You know, I mean, snake holding is above that. That's not scriptural. But, you know, that's way out there. But baptism of the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's just wild. And what's so crazy about it is you and I, we use our words all the time, some of us more than others, and we talk, and, you know, we're controlling everything we say. And some of us don't really control what we say all the time. I'm not pointing anybody out. And some of us, but our tongue, and it says the tongue is so difficult to control. It says, who can do it? It says that in James, who can do it? And then this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, you're speaking in tongues, what's so crazy is that thing that's so difficult to control, you say, I'm going to yield that to you, God. I'm going to let you use that. You still have to speak. It's still your vocal cords. It's still your mouth. It's still you. But you're saying, I'm not going to speak my own words, God. I'm going to let your Holy Spirit inspire me. So yielding is so important. Yielding is the key. And for anything, if you're helping someone receive Jesus, if you're helping someone receive healing, if you're helping someone receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to help them yield. You have to help them give over their control to God. And I'm 19 years old, grew up in this church, and there's still times for me it's difficult to yield. It's just the reality of it. I think that's what the whole flesh thing is that it's just resisting yielding. It says in Romans 8 that the mind yielded to the Spirit is life and peace. The mind yielded to your flesh, it leads to death. But your mind that's yielded to the Spirit brings life and peace. So this whole yielding thing is so important. So when you're helping someone receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what you are trying to do, your whole goal, is helping them yield to God. Helping them yield to the Spirit on the inside of them. Does that make sense? That's good. Let's look in this book. There's just a few points. And we're just going to go through these. I've never done this before. I hate using notes. And I hate going by a script. In school, I always would do plays. I just would mess up the lines all the time. So that's why they would give me really small parts. you know, like the last play I was in, I was in Sound of Music, and I was a Nazi, and my only line was, "Look here!" And I had a flashlight. You guys know Sound of Music when they're looking for the Von Trapps. Look, that was me. You guys know? Have you seen the movie? That was me, that guy who says, "Look here." And but that's about all the lines I could memorize. So that's why we got this book right here. This is by Kenneth Hagin, and he's got such great revelation. So much of what we believe around here is from his teaching, and it's not because, you know, we're following his philosophy or anything like this, but this guy had revelation from God, and so that's why we teach his stuff around here. But so let's look at these points. The first point is this. You guys ready? It says, help the person see that God already gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So when you or I, we encounter a person who needs to be filled with the Spirit, the first thing we have to do is help them realize that the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. That he already gave the Holy Spirit. See, I've met people, and they're waiting on God to give them this gift. They're waiting on God, you know, we're just going to sit here and pray all day. We're going to tarry. We're going to wait till the Holy Spirit comes. But I got to tell you something. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed up, and he hasn't left. Jesus left. He left. His body left this earth. He's up in heaven now. But he says he sent the Holy Spirit. And the day the Holy Spirit came, he remained, and he hasn't left since. And so there are people that we all are going to meet who think that you have to wait on the Holy Spirit, that we, you know, this word tarry is a big word in the body of Christ. And this, it's just this, really what it is this people don't want to do anything. They want God to do everything. And I have to tell you something. God already did everything when he's in Jesus, when he sent the Holy Spirit. He really did it all. You and I just have to respond. And so that's the first point, is you have to tell them, and this is in Acts 2. I hope you guys know this. Acts 2, day of Pentecost, you know, they're all in the upper room praying, and then all of a sudden this rushing wind comes through, and then they all start speaking in tongues. And on that day, what happened was that the Holy Spirit came for every believer. Every believer. So throughout the book of Acts, these believers, they don't have to wait any longer. If they want this gift, they just have to receive it because it already came, and it's the same today. All right, that's a good first point. We'll move on. Second, lead that person to see that anyone who is saved is ready to receive the Holy Spirit. So the only requirement for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be bad, though we all are. But there's no requirements except for salvation. That's why sometimes I've been in situations. I was down in Peru, and when you're the baptism of the Holy Spirit is difficult enough with Americans and people speak your own language, but then add another language to it, and then people don't understand. You have to use a translator. Oh my gosh, that is just confusing. But we're down in Peru, and there was one guy who wanted it, and it just was nothing was happening, nothing was going on. I was like, all right. We need to make sure this guy is saved first. Because sometimes you really don't know. You know, sometimes people walk in these doors and I don't know where they've been, what their story is, and they want to, you know, they want to speak in tongues. And it's important that we make sure that they're saved. Because what happens when you get saved is it says that God's Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Once that takes place, he can come up upon you. Yeah. So he needs to be in there before it comes up upon you. So you got to make sure people have received Jesus, and I've got a scripture for you. It's not really mine, but he wrote a scripture in here, right? Is this exciting? I'm just reading a book to you guys. Here's an Acts 2:38. You can put that up. This is Peter, and this is right after. This is on the day of Pentecost, right after this whole big experience. He says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." And then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it's when you enter into salvation that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you can be baptized with him and you can speak in tongues. Awesome. Really cool. Now, third point. Y'all ready? Y'all excited? Most of y'all, you just look like you're on the edge of your seat right now. I know it's a Wednesday night. Y'all can chill out a little bit. Third, it is scriptural to tell the person to expect to receive the Holy Spirit when hands are laid on them. So this is the Bible way to receive the Holy Spirit, is that you lay hands on them. Now, it's interesting that this whole laying hands on thing, we see it with healing, and we see it with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, just for me, it just naturally what it's saying is that the Spirit of God that's on the inside of me is flowing into this, my uncle right now, is flowing into this person, and they just receive of what I have and kind of jumpstart them. Y'all know how you, like if your car, if it's drained, I don't know much about cars, but if the battery's drained, I do know, Parker can correct me. If the battery is drained, what you do is you get another car whose battery isn't drained, and you get those little connector cables, you hook them up, you do put them somewhere, you rev it up. You put them in the right places, and then you get some magic going, right? The car starts working. This is very similar. Is me as a believer helping someone else to receive, it's almost like these jumper cables. And what's in me, it helps. I'm glad he needs it. It helps him receive. You understand? So that's why we lay hands on people. It's not anything super special happening. It really is just kind of, there's just what I've received from God just kind of flows out of me and to the other person. So when you are helping people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's okay to lay hands on them. In fact, that's what it says. It says in Acts 8, you got that, Grayson, in there. We're going to have to do some scripture looking for. I just know this is what happens in Acts 8. Philip, he's an evangelist, and he goes down to Samaria. This is Acts 8, right? He goes down to Samaria. These people aren't saved. They don't know Jesus. He goes down there. He gets people saved. He starts working miracles. I mean, these people are freaking out. This is amazing. All right? Now, here's what happens. Is Peter and John, I guess Philip calls for them. He calls for Peter and John. Hey, these guys have gotten saved. I baptized them. They've gotten healed. Can you guys come down here? I need your help, Peter and John. And so Peter and John come down there. And then notice what Peter and John do. It says they place their hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. So that's where we get it from. It's not my own words or my little analogy about jumper cables, which was terrible. But it's not that. It's right here. This is what Peter and John did. And if it worked for Peter and John, the guys who were with Jesus and knew him and, you know, were with him every day, if this is what they chose to do, then you and I think this is how we should do it. You know, let's not just all gather in a room and just, you know, start praying and expect magic sparks to start flying and stuff to start happening. You know, let's just lay hands on them like Peter and John did. All right? That's a pretty easy point. In this book, it was only like two sentences, but I made it about 40. So my mother is helping me learn about the art of expanding. There's people that condense, which is like me and Pastor Nate. We're condensers. We're direct. And there's people who expand, like my mom, like Uncle Eddie over here. He can take a five-minute thing and make it 2 hours. And so I'm just learning how to do that tonight. So the fourth point, all right, you guys with me? And, you know, if you're taking notes, that's fine. You can just go get this book. I got it. You can go get it. Really. There's a box right there full of them. So I'm just explaining this with my input. I'm going to tell some stories, but just bear with me for a second. So the fourth point, tell the person what to expect. People get every idea imaginable otherwise. Now, this is an important point. You and I, our job is to explain to people, to help them understand. A lot of people think the Holy Spirit's just like a little puppet master or something, right? That he's just going to get a hold of you and, you know, he's just not going to let you stop. And then when he's done, you're done. I hope he's ready again. This is what a lot of the body of Christ thinks, but this is not true. This is not true. We have to explain people, you know, how it works. Give them an idea of what happens. I have to tell you guys, one of the things I've done most for my friends, like at, when I went to prep, something that people ask me about a lot is, will you speak in tongues for me? Because they wanted to know what it was like. They wanted to have, you know, they've heard about it. They've probably seen movies where it's acted out. They've seen weird stuff, but they've never really seen somebody in the flesh do it. They've never seen their friend do it. And so I would always say, yeah, I'll do it for you. You amused? You know? And so sometimes that might be necessary. My brother Grayson is the king of this. Man, we'll be in a room with people who don't speak in tongues, and you just hear Grayson over in the corner, just going for it. You know, just going for it in tongues. And it gives people an idea of what to expect. It's so funny, it's so silly, but it gives people an idea of what to expect. Because a lot of us think it's like, you know, your eyes roll back in the back of your head and you start rolling on the ground and that's what it's about. But no, it's very simple. It really is a lot more normal than we've made it out to be. And I can start speaking in tongues and I can stop. I can do it for an hour. I can do it in the shower. I can do it wherever. I can control it. And so that's a really good point, Brother Hagin, that you made. Really good one. All right, point number five. Tell the candidate to throw away all fears he got from foolish teachers that he might receive something false. Help him see that he will not receive a substitute for the Holy Spirit. I love this. I love how Brother Hagin wrote this. You know, a foolish teacher teaching something false. But there's a scripture in Luke 11:11. Let's put that up, Grayson. And this is where he's getting this from. He says, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this right here, this is from the Bible. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, he says, my Father in heaven, he knows how to give good gifts to his children. Just like you as a father or a mother know how to give good gifts to your children, my Father does. And so if you're asking for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give you some demonic thing. He's not going to give you, it uses snake and scorpion. He's not going to give you something else. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. This helps people understand, once again, what to expect. It helps people, it helps them trust in God. And really, let's get back to that word yield. It helps people yield to God. When you realize that if I ask for the Holy Spirit, if I ask for this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, that God's going to give it to me, then that takes, it's okay. It's like, okay, I trust God. He's a good Father. He's gonna give me this gift. Not everybody has taught it this way. Once again, there's been foolish teachers. I don't know who those guys are, but there's been foolish teachers out there. They've taught a lot of things. But let's go by the Bible. This is a good gift for you to receive. The Holy Spirit, he only helps. He's the helper. He's the comforter. There's nothing, my goodness, there's nothing bad about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So why do we ever make a case about it that it's bad? There's nothing bad about healing. But sometimes we make a case about why God doesn't want to give. No, God always desires that people be healed. God always desires that people be filled with the Spirit. Always. And so that's the good gift he's got for you. He's not going to give you something else. He's a good dad. He's a good father. And if you ask for this, if you desire this, then he'll give it to you. So this is what you tell people. This is how you encourage people. If you want this gift, If you've read about this stuff in the Bible about it, that it edifies you, whatever that means, if you've read that and want that, then you can have it, and God will give it to you. All right, enough on that one. That was number five. All right, we got two more points, and then I'll tell some stories. Number six, encourage the person to open his mouth wide. This can be an act of faith. Breathe in and tell God, I am receiving the Holy Spirit right now by faith. This gets good. Absolutely insist that the person not speak a single word in his natural language. Encourage him to relax and fearlessly, boldly lift his voice and make those supernatural sounds that want to come, working his tongue and lips as if he would, as he would if he were speaking English. Okay, so I'll just explain that to you. Is that you and I, we have to have a person act on their faith. And this is possibly the most challenging part of the whole process. You explain to them about this gift. You're saved. This gift is for you. God's given it to you. It's a good gift. All you have to do is yield. And then this is our response. This is our yielding, is that we open our mouth by faith and expect words to come out. That's crazy. But that's how we help people receive. And I've been in so many situations where it's the people, they want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've heard about it. They want it. They desire it. But they're not willing to open their mouth because they're either A, ashamed, or they're afraid, or whatever. But you have to open your mouth. And so this is what we have to help people with. This is really kind of where the coaching comes in, is, hey, man, you got to say something. You got to start somewhere. And last week I was in here with Jeff. I don't know what his last name is. You don't either. Jeff, he comes here. You guys, you should meet him sometime. But we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he proceeded to tell me his story about how he received. And because I was really young when I received. I think I was actually at a Brother Hagin meeting when I did receive this gift. And so I don't really remember what happened. But this guy just recently received. And he said that he read a book. He read Why Tongues. It's one of these other Brother Hagin books. And he read this book, and he was learning about tongues, speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said he really started to desire it. He really started wanting it. So what he did, and this is crazy to me. This is wild. What he did is he went and he sat down on his couch, nobody around, and he said he sat there until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I asked him, you know, what were you doing? Were you, you know, you just sat there until you got it? I mean, that's bold. That's persistent. Just sitting there. Man, that's tenacity. Man, I want, you know, that's what I want. I want to push in. It says, you know, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, that's what it looks like to me. And I said, is that what you were doing? You're just sitting there waiting for it? He said, no, I sat there moving my mouth until words came out. Now, I don't know what that looked like. I'm sure if you walked in there, it was probably weird. Just, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. But he got it that day. He went in his own house, sat down on a sofa by himself, nobody around, and just started moving his mouth until he started speaking in tongues. That's faith. That's what it looks like. I help these people, and they're just like, no, no, no. You need to go sit down on your couch, start moving your mouth until words come out. Now, that guy, I mean, that challenged me. That really, I mean, that gave me an image of what it looks like. So I hope that challenges you tonight. If you haven't really received this, or, you know, maybe you were prayed for and nothing came out, it's for you. The whole deal is you're learning to yield. And I see it. Saw it so clearly when I was in India, is that it's like there's a dam. There's this river within us, and it's like there's a dam. And it's in our mind. It's this dam, and it's not a bad word, this dam, and it's holding back. It's holding back whatever this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. And you and I, we just have to learn to let that thing open up. And so some people, when they first receive, it's just a little bit. Just a little, like a trickle. Just a little bit coming out. But as you yield and you yield, it opens up. And it's such an amazing thing to see when that dam is all the way open and see what comes out of people. There's a guy named, I'll tell a story. There's a guy named Manawit in India. And it was like second day we were there. And he comes by, and he wasn't coming by for any particular reason. He just wanted to meet these American guys. And so he's coming by. And we're talking to him about what he does, and, you know, he's a student, and yada, yada, yada. And we're still trying to, at this point, the Indian English is just, you know, it's like it's not working at this point. Right now, I'm at a really good place, you know, I'm having a month of it. If you talk to me in Indian English, I got you covered. But at this point, it wasn't at a good space, my understanding wasn't all the way there. But so we're talking to this guy, and I said, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he said, no. I said, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes, yes, I really want to. I've been waiting. I've been tarrying. I've been waiting for this gift. And so, I've been waiting for this gift. We're just in the house. And I'm sorry. We're just in the house. And I said, you know, you can receive this gift right now. It's for you, man. It's for you. It's really easy. And so we just led him in a prayer. You know, Lord, I just received this gift from you. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. I just let him in it, and then I said, all right, now we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to start speaking in tongues. And you, by faith, just open up your mouth and start speaking. This is just what I tell people, by faith, just open up. And so we start praying in tongues over him, laying our hands on him, and he's just sitting there. And I think he was starting to pray in his own language and blah, blah. And so we're doing this for a little bit, and then I just had to stop it. It's like, man, we need you. We need you just to sit there, and I want you to open your mouth and speak in tongues, not your own language. You got to speak in tongues, not your own language. And so whenever you're ready to do that, just by faith, open your mouth and start speaking. You know, quit speaking Oriya, quit speaking Hindi, quit speaking English. I need you to speak in tongues. So this time, and then, you know, I think we told him, take a deep breath. And, you know, we're going to do this right now. So we start praying for him again. And I kid you what, right when we put our hands on him, the guy, it was like that dam opened up. And it was just, you know, it just came out. And it surprised me. It really did. It shocked me. I was not expecting that. Shocked Grayson. I mean, you know, we're still in the jet lag stages right now, and then this guy just starts shouting in tongues. Well, then he doesn't stop. He just keeps going. This really was a dam opening up. This guy just kept going. Then he gets down on his knees, and we're just all watching. What did we just experience? What just happened? We don't know. But this is what it looks like when that dam opens up. When you help people yield, when you help people by faith open their mouth, this is what can come out. This is what can take place. And it's not just in India, it's not just in Peru, but in your family, with your friends, this is what we can expect to happen. Amen? This is what we should be expecting to happen. And let's go to point number 7. This one is just good wisdom. It says, don't crowd around persons who come seeking the infilling of the Spirit. So don't give them confusing instructions. Those present should pray in the Spirit if they pray out loud. Otherwise, they should pray quietly in their natural language. So this is just good wisdom. All right? We're not yelling at people in tongues. We're not crowding around, even though I've done that many times. I could think of a time we were in Parker's barn, and we had these country boys. They were country. They were really country. They were in there. And we're talking about this. I mean, these guys, I don't know if they're Baptists, what kind of background they're from, but I don't really care. We're just talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we're so excited when one of them finally says, yes, I want that. So we get the guy in the middle, and we're all just surrounding him. And Grayson's there. Parker was there. Houston was there. And we're all crowded around this guy, and we're just going at it, you know. And I'm sure the guy was freaking out. I mean, what, you know, he's just standing there. What are these guys doing? And so I've learned since then, that was back probably last September, October. I've learned since then that there is wisdom with all of this. And it's okay if you get excited. That's okay. We've all done it. I just did it recently, you know. But there is wisdom with this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. Because some people, it's difficult enough just for them to say, yes, I want this. And so let's not scare them away when we actually start it. So you don't have to scream. You don't have to. There isn't some, you know, I keep saying this word magical. There isn't some magical formula for this. It's just helping people receive. And so some people can receive, like that guy, he received in the circle somehow by the grace of God. He received with us, with our shenanigans. But some people, I've had to take them out. I've had to take them away for everything. And We've had to be in a quiet place and just one-on-one. Stephanie, Carter's girlfriend, she wasn't in a big group. It was just not going to happen. And so we had to take her away from the group, help her receive. You got to be aware of where people are at. This is ministry, folks. You got to be aware of people are at. We can't scare them off. We can't do weird things. We just got to be. Just be comfortable and be natural, be aware. And if someone isn't ready to receive, we definitely do not force it upon them. That is a no-no. That's a big no-no. So you just meet people where they're at. You can tell if people are uncomfortable. All right? You know, you guys know me. I'm pretty socially awkward. I can do this. You guys should be able to figure this out. You can tell where people are at. You can look at their eyes and see if they're afraid or not. So just see where people are at when you're ministering to them. That's just wisdom. There was a guy I met, his name was Eric, and he wanted to receive this gift. And so we administered to him, and just nothing was happening. And nothing was going on. And he was getting real discouraged. And so I told him, I said, Eric, you go home tonight. God wants this gift for you. We believe right now when we've prayed that you've received it. And so you just have to be bold and speak out by faith. So this guy spoke Spanish. This was in Peru. And so he went home that night. And about a week later, we saw the guy again. Well, turns out he still hadn't spoken tongues. And so, you know, I asked him what was going on. He said that every time he went to speak in tongues, it was like something was choking him. Something was holding him back from speaking in tongues. He said it felt like a hand was around his throat. That's interesting, right? I'd never encountered this before, never seen this. And so this was a guy I was like, I got to make sure, you know, maybe is it, you know, I know this guy's saved. I mean, what's going on? So we took him out back. And it was just me and another guy. Poncho was the other guy's name. And so we're out back. And Poncho had already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with us. And so Eric's wanting to receive, but some's holding back. So what we had to do, what I had to do, is use my authority. And I say, I know this guy wants his gift. I know he wants to receive. So we're just going to command whatever's going on. If it's fear, anxiety, if it's some work of the devil, I don't know what it is. But we got to command this to go. So he did, commanded it to go in the name of Jesus, and then I said, now speak out. He opened up his mouth, he spoke out in tongues. Now, we don't know where people are at. I say that, we don't know where people are at. We don't know what's going on. This is a process with people, and sometimes in our fast-paced society here in America, we want things now, and we can expect to receive the Holy Spirit now. I'm not denying that, but sometimes we do it at the sake of people. We do it at the expense, right word. We do it at the expense of people. So we have to work with people. We have to work with people. And if it takes 10 minutes, praise God. If it takes 2 hours, you just got to work with people where they're at. And I always tell people this. I mean, it's not anything wrong with you. And it's not anything wrong with God. It's just you right now, we are learning how to yield. We are learning how to open up that dam. And this may take a little bit of time. This guy that I've been working with, 30 years of religion into this mind, 30 years of it. And people told him this is so sad. People told him, a pastor told him this, that the reason you don't speak in tongues is because you don't have the faith to do it. That just crushes a person. Why would anybody want to receive after that? And so in this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, it's so important that we don't look down on people. It's so important that just because they're a different denomination that, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, they're not like us, or, you know, they don't have it all together like we do, you know? It's important that we meet people where they're at. This is where God's grace comes in. This is where his love comes in. And we get down there in the dirt and help people receive. Like this search and rescue thing. You can go and search and rescue a lost person, a person who doesn't know Jesus. In the same way, someone who needs this gift, who desires this gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can go search and help them through this process. And this is what we're called to do as Christians, as believers. If someone is not filled with the Spirit, you and I, we initiate this conversation. And we lead them through those things. And I gave you 7 steps. You probably need to just get this book and read it, to be honest with you. But it's really simple. Here's what we do. Do you want this gift? Do you want it? All right? That's all? You're saved? Yeah? You want it? Well, it's for you. God gave this gift at the day of Pentecost. He gave it for you. And all the Bible says, all you have to do is receive it by faith. And so what does that look like? Well, I can speak in tongues for you if you want me to. I'm just going to lay my hands on you. I'm going to begin to speak in tongues. And by faith, you open up your mouth and you start speaking in tongues. And then when you get to that point, it all turns into coaching and just helping people connect. But what I have found is if you ask people this question, all right, if you ask people, do you believe you're going to speak in tongues when I lay hands on you? Do you believe when I lay hands on you that you're going to speak in tongues? If you ask people that question and you just right away get their first response, you can tell if people are going to receive right then or not. Some people are like, well, they might not receive. When people are, yes, I want it now, then God can work with that. And so people are at all stages, and our job is to gauge where people are at. And it's not looking down on somebody if they're just not as far as other people are. It's none of that. Some people just need teaching. Some people need understanding. Some people just need to learn what the word edify means. You know? We're all at different stages. We're all at different places. And so I just encourage you tonight, about to close, I encourage you tonight that there are people in your life who need this gift. This gift has changed my life. I know it's changed yours. And there are people that need it. Just as much as people need salvation, people need this gift. Just as much as people need healing, people need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yet we're very shy with it. We get freaked out when someone starts speaking in tongues around us, or someone's too close to us speaking in tongues. Even if we do it, we get freaked out. You know, why is Grayson back there praying in tongues? What's he doing? You know, it just weirds us out. But I have to tell you, if the Bible's true and says that it brings us great boldness and it brings us great power, then we need this gift, and many, many, everyone needs this gift. So God is not unwilling that any should perish, and he's not unwilling that any should do without this gift. So I say all that to say, if you know people who are not filled with the Spirit, you have to ask them about it. Don't wait for the day for them to come and ask you if you speak in tongues, because it might not ever happen. You approach them and say, hey, I've had this experience, and this is something that's helped me out so much, and can I just talk to you about it? It's in the Bible. It's not freaky. It's not that weird. It's in the Bible. You know, Jesus did it. It's a different sermon. It's a real thing. And do you want this gift? And you just present it to people. And I've found, my goodness, in India, over 100 Baptist people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Yet over here in America, if we heard someone was Baptist, we're like, no way. No, I can't share that with them. No way. But we got to be bold with this. There are people. There was a guy I knew in high school who I thought for sure the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, that would scare him off. I thought for sure that would be the thing. It turns out that was the very thing he wanted. That was the very thing that drew him in to get saved. You just don't know where people are at. And it's not your decision to say, oh, no, he wants it or she wants it or whatever. You can't just do that with these eyes. You have to ask people. And we're so bold with salvation. We're so bold with healing. Let's be bold with this. Let's step out in faith and expect people to receive. Let's be bold, be bold, be bold. And what's so great, if you don't feel bold about this, just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues until you get bold about sharing about speaking in tongues. Amen? Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this gift that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that we speak in tongues here. And Lord, I just thank you for great boldness upon us tonight to share this with others. Lord, Holy Spirit, that you show us, you give us the words to say, that you remind us of the things we've been taught. Lord, that you always help us, that you're always with us, that you are a comforter. Oh, and you show us exactly what to say, and you give us the boldness. Thank you, Lord, you give us the boldness. Now, if you speak in tongues, let's just take a moment right here. Let's all speak in tongues. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for camp. We thank you for camp this week. Thank you, Lord, for the kids that are going to be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the kids that are going to be saved, the kids that are going to be healed. I thank you in advance, Lord, for the ministry that will take place, that lives will be changed, that hearts will be changed. Thank you, Lord, for what's taking place in us. Thank you, Lord, for what's taking place in our city, for the victory that we have, for the joy and the peace that's filling up this city. Oh, and for the bold laborers that I'm surrounded by, a room full of bold witnesses tonight. Lord, that we are bold to share your word, bold to share your message tonight. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. We have camp tomorrow. If you are bringing somebody, show up over here at 12. counselors will be having a meeting back here in the atrium. What'd you say? And if you have never received this gift, or maybe, you know, you've prayed with somebody, but you've never spoken out in tongues, tonight can be your night. Amen? And so I'm going to ask y'all to come and talk to Eddie over here, and y'all can come up here. So if that's what you want tonight, it's so easy, guys. It really is. A five-year-old can do it. So just here he is. A 55-year-old. No. But y'all can come do that too. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all be dismissed.